Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I came across this parable that I think is helpful for getting at what Jesus is trying to accomplish with his disciples, what he's trying to do with them. So a man was driving home when he saw a group of children on the corner selling lemonade in his neighborhood. They'd posted the typical handwritten sign over their stand, lemonade, 25 cents. And the man was intrigued, and so he pulled over to the curb, and a girl approached and asked if he would like the strawberry or the regular lemonade. The man placed his order and handed over a dollar, and after some deliberation, the children determined that he had some change coming to him, and they rifled through their cigar box for a bit, and they finally came up with the correct amount, and the girl returned with the change, and then she stood in the vicinity of the car. After a couple of minutes, she asked the man, "Are you finished drinking?" "Just about," he said. "Well, why?" And the girl responded, "That's the only cup we have, and we need it to stay in business." See, it's difficult to keep a lemonade stand up and running if you only have one cup. But I want to suggest that sometimes that's the error we make in the church. We as the church often make the mistake of thinking that spreading the good news of Jesus is up to the pastor or to the evangelism committee or anybody else. But sharing the good news of Jesus is your responsibility as a disciple. And today we read about Jesus' plan in motion for the spreading of his message. Nowhere is the movement from Jesus' ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing to the ministry of his followers, nowhere is it more explicit than in our gospel reading today. In the first part of the reading, Jesus is out there, and he's out there, and he's in the town, and he's doing all of the work that his Father has called him to do. Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. We would expect that there would be a clear delineation between the earthly ministry of Jesus and that of his disciples, that the disciples would be given, you know, a little less authority, a little less power, a little less ministry than Jesus. Just like an apprentice is given less responsibility than the master. But we just don't find it. The gospel reads, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over every unclean spirit to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness. And then Jesus gives his disciples the preaching and the teaching message. Go and proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then Jesus gives them authority and power to do the things he does. He commands them to use it. He says, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. See, in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' followers include the original audience, but we're meant to read ourselves into the story as well. We are expected to resemble our Lord in word and deed. To be sent by Jesus, in some sense, is to be sent as Jesus. But we all know that we as disciples, we're a messy bunch, aren't we? We come to faith clumsily, fumbling and bumbling in our devotion, and we are woefully short of Jesus' perfection. But even still, with all of those things that should disqualify us, Jesus passes on to us, broken, needy people, His ministry. And if we're to distill Jesus' ministry into two things for us today, that ministry would be of liberation and healing. The kingdom of God that is being ushered into this world is one of freedom. Jesus came to put an end to all systems in the world and all people who would oppress. It's only a matter of time before all people who seek to abuse power and to keep others down for their gender or their economic status or the color of the skins or who they choose to love, these people will be stopped. Jesus comes to bring liberation so that we can have things in our society that we point to. So any place in which there is an end to slavery, an equalization of the sexes, a raising up of the poor, equal rights in marriage, those are the places in which the kingdom is at hand, because His work is about liberating those who have been maltreated. But it's not just out there in the world. It's in here as well. Jesus comes to free our minds from the tyranny of our own guilt and shame. Jesus came so that we may know that we are not alone. We don't have to pay our own debt for our misdeeds and sin. He's done that for us. Jesus sets us free from the idea that we can save ourselves, because He's done it. He calls us to trust in Him and His work. The liberation of body, mind, and spirit is something that Christ does for us and to us and through us to others. But it's not just about liberation, it's healing. Jesus wants the brokenness of the world to be mended. Jesus calls for us not only to be liberated from oppression, but to reconcile with those who oppress us, and for us to reconcile those who we oppress. And one of the most compelling examples of this is our Lord on the cross. After Jesus was falsely accused, improperly condemned, punished, tortured, while crucified, He prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." One of Jesus' last acts on earth is to forgive and offer reconciliation to those who oppressed Him. I mean, healing comes not just when we're free, but when we truly love those who've hurt us. And that's difficult. We are free when we truly love ourselves, even with all of the things that we know about ourselves. I think we often make the mistake of comparing everything that we know about ourselves to the little we know about others. And then we beat ourselves up for it. So from the perspective of the Gospel of Matthew, disciples, followers of Jesus, it's all about living out liberation and healing and then spreading that to others, connecting others to the God of liberation and healing. Jesus knew that a single cup in the church isn't going to keep his movement going. We are the additional cups that Jesus has planned to get his message across the world. And he pours into us knowledge and understanding and wisdom and bravery so that we can go out into the whole earth and keep his kingdom business going. St. Paul writes to us, "I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony of our Lord." Brothers and sisters, do not be afraid to share the message of Jesus. At the end of the gospel, Jesus is telling of our gospel reading today, Jesus tells his disciples that when you're before others, do not worry about what you say, for the Father will speak through you. And I think we have to trust that when we feel the Spirit leading us to share the message with others. God will speak through you. So don't be afraid to share the message. It's the only way that the world is going to find liberation. It's the only way we find healing. So friends, in Jesus, may you find liberation and healing. In Jesus, may you find strength. May you be a cup. Amen.